Hello, everyone, and welcome to another episode of Selling Greenville, your favorite real estate podcast here in Greenville, South Carolina. I'm your host, as always, Stan McCune. I'm a realtor here in Greenville. You can find all of my contact information in the show notes if you need to reach out to me for any of your real estate needs. Please, just a reminder, as always, if you like this content, please subscribe to it. Make sure you don't miss future episodes. If you're listening on iTunes, Audioboom, Google Play, Spotify, whatever, you can hit the subscribe button on any of those platforms. Now, some of them will also let you like, rate, review, all of those things. I'd appreciate if you guys could go ahead and do that as well. But I just want to say, just right off the bat, I appreciate all of my listeners. So thank you for listening, regardless of whether you do that. But an extra thank you for those of you that have gone out of your way to take those additional steps. Today, I want to talk about something a little bit different. And this is a topic that applies to outside of the Greenville area. But as I tell you guys, we touch on some national subjects here, but it's always through a Greenville lens when I do that. And so I don't want things to get twisted here. Everything I say, real estate is hyper local, and everything I say about real estate is through a Greenville lens. I'm sorry, my filter for my computer here, because I'm recording this for YouTube, it's kind of wigging out with my microphone. So I just moved my microphone. Hopefully that didn't mess up anything. But I want to talk today about specifically what I'm going to call localized market bubbles in real estate. So last week, when we talked about the market stats, I mentioned that even though home prices as a whole in the upstate are increasing, you know, as we track what's happening with the median price point and all of that kind of stuff, that doesn't necessarily mean that every area of the upstate and every home in the upstate is seeing home prices go up. In fact, even though home prices nationwide are still ticking up, there are some major areas that are seeing prices crash. Two of the darlings of the COVID real estate boom, Boise and Austin, although Austin's boom had already started pre-COVID, but it was still one of the boom towns of the COVID era. Those two cities in particular, I keep hearing, and a bunch of others as well, but I keep hearing that there are some major price corrections that have happened the past 2 years in Austin and Boise, among many others. I'm going to screen share with those of you who are watching this on YouTube. I'm going to screen share a map. This map is courtesy of Resi Club, which provides a lot of really great data for real estate. Now this, okay, so I've got it pulled up here. If you're on YouTube, you can see it. So this is a map that aggregates data based on Zillow's home value index. Now, Zillow's numbers on a micro level, i.e. individual homes, tends to be garbage, right? If you're looking at Zillow to get your home value, you're probably not going to get a very useful number. But if you look at Zillow data from a macro level, which is what's happening here, because this data is aggregated, it can be a lot more useful, right? A lot of data that's not useful on a micro level is much more useful on a macro level, because you can see changes over time and all of that. And as you can see, so the map that I'm looking at, for those of you that are listening, it shows areas of the entire United States, whether home prices since their peak, their respective peak in 2022, whether they've gone up from the 2022 peak through today, and actually this is home prices through February of 2024, so through last month, through last month. Whether they've gone up or whether they've gone down since the 2022 peak. On the map, if it's blue, that means they've gone up. And if it's red, that means it's gone down. Now, for those of you listening that you can't see this, much of the map is blue. I would say probably about 60% of the map is blue and about 40% is red. So about 60% of the U.S. is seeing prices still going up from the 2022 peak, and about 40% seeing prices going down from that 2022 peak. And it's very interesting. For the most part, in the eastern part of the United States, it's heavy, heavy blue, whereas the western part of the United States is heavy, heavy red. And Texas, in particular, is really, really red. What that means is that home prices have come down predominantly in Texas and the western part of the U.S. since their peak in 2022, whereas in the eastern part of the United States, and also I would include the Midwest as well, home prices have, for the most part, gone up. Now, if you're watching on YouTube, you'll see a little arrow that I put on here, and that little arrow points to Lawrence County. Lawrence County is one of the dark red counties in the upstate of South Carolina, and this is the only county that I personally do frequent work in that is in the red. Greenville County is in the blue, Spartanburg County is in the blue, Pickens County is in the blue, but Lawrence County is in the red, and in the dark red, meaning that Lawrence County has lost at least 15% of its value based on this Zillow home value index since the peak in 2022. And for those of you not familiar with Lawrence, it's a fairly rural area with a ton of shopping options, not a ton of like really great like white collar working opportunities, and quite frankly, not a ton of blue collar working opportunities either. It's that's just not what Lawrence is. It's out in the country, and it's a lot of older homes in that area. And it's an area that people have traditionally targeted if they, A, can't afford to be closer to Greenville. You know, they want to be in the upstate. You know, they'd love to be in Greenville, but they just can't afford it. So they're just pushed out. You know, can't go to Simpsonville, can't afford Simpsonville, can't afford Fountain Inn. Keep going further south. Ultimately, they end up in Lawrence County, maybe in Gray Court, which I believe is in Lawrence County, or maybe in Lawrence proper, or maybe in Clinton. A variety of options. And as so that's one option, one target buyer who can end up in Lawrence County. The other one is people that actually just want to experience rural living, and or have an affinity for large lots, older homes, etc., and they don't really care where they are. They want to be kind of generally speaking in this pocket in the upstate of South Carolina, but the precise location is less important than all of these other details. Now, Lawrence County definitely experienced a COVID boom between 2020 and 2022. This is really undeniable. During that time, I had multiple closings in Lawrence County. There were frequent multiple offers, quirky homes that would normally be unsellable that were just finding a desperate buyer willing to overlook the quirks, and things just selling dramatically quicker than normal. And that was in the upstate as a whole. But the Lawrence market was traditionally known as a slow market, right? Not a ton of demand in Lawrence County, traditionally speaking. Well, that changed really overnight into an area that really rivaled some of the hottest areas of the upstate. So Lawrence County, you know, when we had this COVID boom happen, mortgage rates went way low. Demand skyrocketed. A ton of demand ended up getting pushed down into Lawrence County. And it, I mean, I've told this story, I think, a few times, but there was, I had a client that was looking in a lot of different areas of the upstate that they were first-time homebuyer. And we were just struggling to find them something that they could afford. And they were going all over the place, looking at a lot of different areas. And I was showing them a lot of homes in Lawrence County because it was a lot cheaper than going into Greenville or even parts of Spartanburg County. And there was one home, actually there was multiple homes that I went to show them. And by the way, Lawrence County is not a short drive from where I live. Like, it was taking me like 45 minutes one way to get down there oftentimes from where I was coming from. And it wasn't a short drive for my client either. Multiple times we got all the way down there only to find out that the home we were looking at was already under contract. And that was immensely frustrating. And I have never experienced that any other time in Lawrence County. That was just a very unusual thing that happened during that one period of time when demand was the highest it had probably ever been in the upstate. But that was 2020 through 2022. since mortgage rates have been skyrocketing since 2022, we have been in a de facto housing recession, right? Basically the past 2 years. And Lawrence has come back down to earth. And it turns out that Lawrence County, like the cities of Boise and Austin, experienced a COVID bubble that burst when interest rates started going up. Now, the reality is that nobody wants to buy a home at its peak price, only to have it then immediately lose value in upcoming years. So it's immensely important to me that when we see an area suddenly become hot, we take a step back and assess whether a bubble might be forming in that area. Because it seems very clearly that Lawrence County, you know, the upstate is not immune to these sort of real estate bubbles. We have one right in our backyard. Lawrence County was clearly a bubble market. By the way, I ran some other data to see if this Zillow data was accurate, and I concluded that the Zillow data is in fact accurate when it comes to this. So what are the indicators that a localized area is experiencing a bubble versus one that is actually going to continue growing and seeing home price appreciation, right? If we see a market that traditionally hasn't been a super hot market, but all of a sudden it just got really, really hot, how can we be sure, and we might not be able to be, but what are some considerations at least that we can consider when looking at whether or not a market might be going through a bubble? Maybe we just need to wait it out. Or is it a market that, you know, all of a sudden had this influx of demand, but we can expect that demand to be sustained for a while, for years or perhaps even decades. So I've come up with several different scenarios here that I want to discuss with you on how to assess localized submarkets to kind of determine if it might be a bubble or not. And so I've actually got some notes here in front of me where I look at the bubble, the reason for the bubble, and then maybe on the flip side, if there is not going to, if there's an argument for it not being a bubble, what would that argument be? All right. So let's just start with the first one here. One of the most common ways that a bubble forms in a localized real estate market is when it's an area that people or areas that people are getting pushed into because they are getting pushed out of more desirable areas due to rapid unaffordability. This is exactly what happened during COVID, specifically with regard to Lawrence County, in my opinion. This is the exact dynamic. When demand slows down enough that buyers can play in a more desirable sandbox, in other words, the people that were just getting outbid on everything that was remotely affordable in Greenville County got pushed down to Lawrence. Guess what? Once demand slowed down in Greenville County enough that people didn't have to do that, they stopped moving to Lawrence. People didn't want... There was artificial demand in Lawrence County by virtue of the fact that people weren't in the area that they wanted to be. They wanted to be in Greenville County, but for one reason or another... one second. Sorry about that. Computer got unplugged there. And I don't want my computer to die on me mid-recording, because that would be very frustrating. But as soon as demand started to slow down in Greenville, and Greenville became, you know, a possibility again for all these people that were getting pushed to Lawrence, they just started moving back to Greenville County. And that's something that we've seen in a lot of other areas, right? I'm not just trying to, you know, make fun of Lawrence County. That's not at all what I'm doing. It's a great area to live as long as that's the type of market that you want to live in. But I believe that this is why Lawrence County has busted and why it was a bubble, was that there just wasn't, the demand was never going to last unless, you know, Greenville kept going on this insane pace, which it never was. We were never going to keep seeing 20% year-on-year appreciation. We were never going to see 15 offers on every house that came on the market. That was never going to be sustainable. And so when that all went away, when things calmed down a little bit, Lawrence kind of saw the bottom fall out of the market. And again, I'm talking in broad strokes. If you're from Lawrence County or from that area, and you're just like, that didn't happen, remember, it's not going to happen in every single neighborhood in Lawrence County. It's not going to happen to every single home in Lawrence County. We're talking on a macro level here. But on the flip side, what would it look like if sustained appreciation could actually be reasonably expected for a market like this? I would make this argument. We've seen this in the upstate. If you have areas that are cheaper, but are inherently desirable for one reason or another, that is a good indication. That's an area that is going to see sustained appreciation, even if it happened overnight, right? We saw this in the Riverside School District in Greer. That part of Greenville County, and I think there might be some parts of Riverside School District might be in Spartanburg County, but most of it's in Greenville County. But that section of Greer was a lot of farmland, 15, 20, 30 years ago. Well, they started building out there. And guess what? They're building around an award-winning school, the Riverside School District, a series of award-winning schools out there. And guess what? Demand immediately was there because these homes were cheaper, right? They're out in the boonies. But they had something going for them. They had a really strong, desirable school district. And so things just started organically building up around that area. And so that's something to look at. We've seen this in Fountain Inn. One reason why I'm not concerned about Fountain Inn being in a bubble, because that was a prime candidate, was there was, a lot being invested in building a new elementary school down there and all sorts of things happening, investing in Fountain Inn's little main street and all of that. So those are the kinds of things that you can look for if there's an area that is kind of on the outskirts, right? We're not even talking about the suburbs. We're talking about past the suburbs. What happens is if they're going to see sustained growth, that area essentially has to become the suburbs. If it never becomes the suburbs, and I can tell you, Lawrence County, nobody considers Lawrence County to be the suburbs of the upstate. If there's not something there that will promote and continued growth in that area, continued growth isn't going to happen. And if there is a ton of demand, that's a bubble. And that bubble is likely to burst at some point. Here's another one. Areas where investors are gobbling up real estate to store money. That is a bubble market, okay? If you have an area where investors are just gobbling up tons and tons of real estate just because they need a place to store money, that should be a red flag in your mind. Now, there are two aspects to this. One is when the conditions that made an area attractive to investors changes. For instance, low interest rates, a new community with no rental restrictions, better opportunities to use capital outside of real estate, etc. And so then the investors pull out in that situation, and then demand plummets. I should clarify with regard to the interest rates. When it becomes a situation where it no longer makes sense for investors to be able to invest in an area, perhaps the demand was artificially inflated by low interest rates, and once rates go up, the demand goes away for the investors because the numbers no longer work. And same thing with, a new community pops up in a desirable area with no rental restrictions, might get a bunch of investor money pumped into it, and then that community gets tapped out, and now there's investors are not interested in the other options. These types of things happen, and then demand goes away. Another option or another aspect that I see of this happening is that investors tend to not keep up with their properties as well as owner occupants do. Like, let's just be honest here. And so oversaturation of rental properties can happen in an area, and that is bad for an area long-term. So investors gobbling up real estate to store money can cut two ways, right? One is when the reason why they're gobbling up real estate no longer is a factor. And so those investors all pull out and all of that demand goes away. And the other one is when investors oversaturate a market with rentals, and then that just hurts that market because an oversaturation of rentals generally isn't good for an area. But we know that not every area that has investors in it are doing poorly, right? A lot of Greenville has heavy investments, even from other countries in it. And so what does that mean? How do we assess whether this bubble is actually happening, you know, in other areas? Well, I would say look for areas where investors are targeting that specific area, not merely because of cheapness, but because of the long-term prospects. I think that's super, super duper important because a lot of times investors target an area just because it's affordable, right? And the numbers work, and it's like, all right, here we go. We're going to dump money into this area because of affordability. But some investors, oftentimes savvy investors, are not so focused on just trying to find the cheapest rental that they can get and just get that under contract, just get some cash flow going. A lot of them are looking long term and they're looking for the area. So great example would be the area around like Unity Park in Greenville. There's a lot of investor money going into that area and the Village of West Greenville and all of that. A ton of investor money going into that area. And I don't believe personally that that's a bubble. I think that that is happening because people see that this is going to be a desirable area long term, and investors want to be a part of that long term desirability of that area. So the investor money going in is not going to impact it because the desirability was there before the investors were, right? That's the important detail. Areas where that are not inherently desirable, but that are getting investor money are probably areas that are getting investor money just because they're cheap or one reason or another like that. Those are the areas that are more prone to being in bubbles that will burst. All right. Scenario number three, areas are areas where people are having to do 30 plus minute commutes to work. Okay. Now this, I need to absolutely caveat. This is definitely Greenville specific. If you're listening from certain parts of the Northeast, certain parts of, you know, California, if you're a listener listening in on this because you're interested in Greenville, you probably think me pointing out a 30 plus minute commute is, you know, that's insane. That would be an indicator of being in a bubble, because a lot of people in big cities in the United States are doing like a 30 minute commute would be a dream come true. They're doing an hour, 2 hour commute. So let me just say, for those of you that are not native to Greenville, a 30 plus minute commute in Greenville is extremely rare, and people generally don't want to do it. They move here in part so that they don't have to do that. And it's pretty simple to identify an area that that requires a 30 minute commute, right? You could just look at economic data for an area. You can look at the employers in that area. And so you can very easily look at an area that is having a bunch of demand and identify whether this area is perhaps prone or perhaps more likely to be in a bubble on the basis of the commute. And this ties in a little bit to the first point that I made, but it's a little bit more quantifiable, right? You can look at, okay, what's the likelihood people move down here? What's the likelihood that they're having to commute to work? There's a lot of data points that you can look at. On the flip side, areas that have a good mix of blue-collar and white-collar businesses within a 15-minute commute are the areas that are much more likely to see sustained appreciation. So again, look at Fountain Inn. Use that as an example. Fountain Inn, cute, great little town down there. A lot of people like it. There are some working options. But then also you can just hop up 15 minutes into Simpsonville. And Simpsonville is a larger city. And there's options there. Not too far from there is Malden. A lot of options there. Not too far from there is the Donaldson Center, which is a big employer, a government employer in the area. So there are tons of different options from Fountain Inn. So this is why we've not seen a price correction in Fountain Inn, in my opinion, was because it, even though if you look at it, you know, if you're just looking at the upstate and looking at Fountain Inn in relationship to Greenville, you would think, wow, really far away. And it would be a 30-minute commute for certain parts of Fountain Inn to go into certain parts of Greenville. But if you look at it more closely, you realize, wait, no, Fountain Inn is actually in a perfect location for people that don't need to be right near Greenville County or right near Greenville downtown, but want to be in the upstate, still want to work, still want shopping nearby, still want restaurants nearby. It checks off all of those boxes. Number four, scenario number four here is areas where substantial new home construction is going up rapidly, okay? And the operative word is rapidly. If you're in the Greenville area listening to this, you're probably like, well, that's the entire upstate. No. And I'm jumping ahead a little bit. I'm going to come back to that. But that is not what I'm talking about. Now, I will probably do a different episode on this one specific point at some point. I don't know. I've gone back and forth in my mind over it. But there's data coming out and coming in that very clearly shows that the more housing is built, the more prices come down. And while our local politicians here in Greenville County, in the city of Greenville, in a lot of other county and city councils surrounding Greenville, believe that only dedicated, affordable housing built for people at specific income ranges, which we talked about before, that is the only way to make housing affordable. Studies have shown that all housing, yes, including luxury housing that is being built, brings down the cost of all housing. There is no such thing as affordable housing. I cannot say this enough. All housing is affordable. If you build luxury housing, you are creating downstream affordable housing for someone. There is a domino effect, and there is data behind this domino effect. And if you guys are interested in me talking about that, let me know. As I've said before, my contact information is in the show notes, but I'd be happy to discuss that if there's enough demand from you guys for me to discuss that. Now, is this a risk for Greenville? No! No. Again, I'm talking about rapid new home construction, rapid apartment construction, and we are well below the numbers we need for housing to keep up with the number of people moving to the upstate of South Carolina. But there are areas that I've already mentioned, like Austin, Boise, even Nashville. I keep hearing from Nashville that have been developed to the point where prices are coming down. And if you're on YouTube, I'm going to share another thing with you. This is an analysis of zip codes. Hopefully you guys can see this. This is an analysis of the top 25 zip codes that are experiencing apartment construction. Now, this is very interesting. I just mentioned Nashville. The number one zip code for apartment construction is Central Nashville. The 37203 zip code had 7,431 apartments that were in under construction as of October 2023. I've been sitting on this data for a while trying to figure out when I was going to use it. And so we've got zip codes in Nashville, in New York City, in New Jersey, Charlotte, several in Charlotte, actually, Atlanta, Denver, Austin, Miami, Dallas, Phoenix, San Diego, DC, Seattle, Huntsville, and Orlando. Those are basically, and if I didn't mention Philly or Raleigh, those are in here as well. So those are the top markets for apartment construction. Now, Greenville is nowhere to be found on here. Now, you're probably thinking, well, those are all much bigger cities than Greenville. You would be correct, but I will point out that this is broken down by zip code, okay? And so that takes out some of the elements of, okay, this is a way bigger city, et cetera, et cetera. And I have actually analyzed the data down to ensure that I'm not just saying that off the cuff. So the person that provided this data, which is someone that I follow on Twitter, I actually asked him, hey, can you provide the data for Greenville, which he generously did. And the Greenville data, the top Greenville zip code is 29601. That's downtown Greenville. And 29601, as of when this data was published last year, had 563 units under construction with a population of 13,000. Okay? For comparison, on this data that we're looking at, if you're looking on YouTube, you can see south end of Charlotte, zip code 28203, had 3,324 units under construction with a population of 18,000. Okay, so Greenville had 13,000 with 563 units under construction in 29601, and Charlotte in 28203 had 3,300 and change apartments with a population of that was less than 50% higher than the 29601 population. Okay, what's my point being? We are way behind in Greenville County and Greenville City with regard to development, and specifically with regard to the development of apartments. People think we need more parks, not more apartments. Not true. That is not true. And again, there is data behind this that shows that even when you build apartments, that makes single family homes more affordable for people. People don't understand, because they're just seeing the apartments and they're like, who wants to live there? That's what I keep hearing. Who wants to live in an apartment? You'd be surprised. A lot of people want to live in an apartment. People like maintenance-free lifestyle, centrality. A lot of apartments, you know, that are being developed now have nice restaurants at the bottom of them. I went to, this is a while ago now, but there's an apartment complex that has like a Barberitos, which is kind of like a Chipotle down in the bottom of it. I ate down there, and it was interesting to see all the tenants just coming down there, grabbing Barberitos, and just going back up the elevator, back up to their apartment. There is definitely demand for that type of lifestyle. If you're saying, well, I would never want to do that, well, obviously it wasn't built for you, right? It was built for other people. But it's very interesting to look at this data, right? That we are behind, generally speaking, in Greenville County, and in the upstate as a whole. So I don't think that this specific scenario where substantial new home construction is growing rapidly is something that we have to, be thinking about with regard to our market being a bubble. This is not one of the scenarios that I see happening in any part of the upstate. Lawrence County, Greenville County, Oconee County, any of these other counties, because there is so much NIMBYism happening where people are trying to block as much development as possible. Now, what would be the scenario where I could see, you know, a lot of construction going up, but there's still being sustained appreciation? Again, it's really hard to quantify. I think we have to compare it to some of these other areas. So we can see that Nashville built so much. You could argue maybe they built too much. It depends on what you're looking at, right? If your number one goal is housing affordability, Nashville did exactly what they were supposed to do. If your number one goal is home price appreciation, well then, if you have housing in Central Nashville, you're probably freaking out right now. And so that's something to consider. But I don't think we need to worry about it. Right in the upstate, this is not happening. We've got anti-development county council, in particular, city council's not as anti-development, but even so, our apartments that are being built within the city are just not enough. And there's such a focus on affordable housing within the city that it does, even though they're not as aggressive with blocking developments in the city, they are very aggressive with forcing developers to do certain things with their developments that it is going to scare off some developers, quite frankly. So that is something that is happening in the Greenville market. I don't think we need to worry about there being a new construction bubble causing any significant impact on prices anytime soon. We are decades away from that being a problem. Point number five, and this is my last point, actually. As far as the aspect where we can see a bubble is areas where we see a mass migration from a very specific area to a very specific area. And I'll give two examples. First, let's talk about Austin again, right? I keep bringing up Austin, but it's just Austin is just a very interesting city to study with regard to this. So prior to COVID, Austin saw an influx of people moving there from Silicon Valley. So again, it was a COVID boom town, but it was a boom town before COVID. And guess what? From what I've heard, I'm not in that market, but from what I've heard, eventually there were no longer enough people left to move from Silicon Valley, and that pipeline more or less dried up. And guess when that pipeline dried up, that caused demand to go way down. When demand goes down, and guess what? They were still building a ton of housing. Prices ended up going down as a result in the Austin area. Prices skyrocketed, and then they corrected a little bit. I don't think they're anywhere near back down to what they were a few years ago. They're still very high. I'm not saying that. I'm not saying prices are affordable in Austin, but just that the bubble did burst. Here's one that hasn't happened yet, but I believe will, and that is North Jersey, where I am originally from. New Jersey, and specifically the areas that are close to New York City, are, from my understanding, experiencing a true influx of people just getting priced out of the city, right? People that would love to live in New York City, they're just priced out. You know, they used to be able to afford Brooklyn or perhaps even Queens or some of these areas. Now, they can't afford anything, let alone Manhattan. Now, in this case, you could argue that that this rule of people, you know, migrating from one area where they're working to another area where it's more affordable perhaps fits the 30 plus minute commute rule that I already mentioned. And there is some overlap between these two for sure. But remember that was a rule specifically for Greenville. People who work in New York City frequently have a long commute regardless of where they live, even if they live in the city. You know, they might be going from one borough to the next. It could easily be a 45 minute to an hour commute. But the big influx into New Jersey, I believe, is unsustainable, and I believe a bubble is forming there. And eventually, demand will push prices in Jersey to a point where it's no longer affordable for people to live in New York City or North Jersey. Now, maybe those people then push into Central Jersey or God forbid, South Jersey. That would be a tremendous commute into the city. Or perhaps they keep moving west. Perhaps they stay in North Jersey and keep moving west, closer to the Pennsylvania border. I don't know the specific New Jersey submarkets. Like I said, I'm from there, but I haven't lived there in 20 years, so I can't speak to specific areas. But if I had investments in New Jersey real estate, which I, of course, don't, nor will I, I'd be doing a ton of research right now into the demographics and makeup of the demand for the area where I had real estate holdings and how that compares to pre-COVID. Because, like I said, there could be people that are perhaps on the eastern part of North Jersey that end up migrating to the western part of North Jersey. So these migrations, you know, I'm using North Jersey very loosely, but that's a very large area. And there could be even migrations from within that area happening. And that is a red flag. When these migrations start happening and prices just keep going up, that is a red flag that a bubble might be being created. Now, in Greenville, what's really nice from this standpoint is that, yeah, we have people migrating here from a lot of areas, but they're not specific areas, right? This isn't New York City people moving to North Jersey. This is people moving from all over the country coming to South Carolina. And so that is a much different story. So again, this is one that I don't believe that we can classify as something that is a risk to the Greenville or the upstate of South Carolina areas as a whole. But this is, as I was thinking through, what are the scenarios that I can think of where we would potentially identify a bubble? And I've got a lot of listeners from outside of the Greenville market. So I wanted to make sure this wasn't so Greenville-centric that I didn't benefit you guys or give you guys a tool in your toolbox in order to assess your specific markets. Or maybe you have real estate in Greenville, Nashville, New York, some other places, and you're trying to figure out which of these assets are at risk. Hopefully this gives you, again, another tool in your toolbox to consider. Some of these things could be a concern with some submarkets in the upstate. As I've already mentioned, Lawrence has had a correction, so we know it can happen. But some of these also, in my opinion, specifically these last two, with the new home construction growing rapidly and mass migration from a specific area, those are not two that I'm concerned about currently with Greenville. But the landscape is always changing, and these are always things that we need to keep up with to make sure that we're staying on top of the market. And if I see a trend developing that I'm concerned about, or that I think could impact, maybe I'm not concerned about it, but I think it could impact things, you guys, my listeners, my watchers, if you're watching, will be the first to know. So that's all that I have for you guys today. I appreciate you guys watching. I appreciate you guys listening. As always, my contact information is in the show notes if you need to reach out to me for any of your real estate needs. If you like this incredible content, I would appreciate if you guys could go ahead and hit that subscribe, like, rate, review, comment, whatever button. Do all those things. Get the show out to as many people as possible. That's all I ask of you. That, use me as your realtor if you purchase real estate in Greenville. That's it. We will talk again next time.